This is Adam Farrell reporting for Fred Film Radio at the London Film Festival, where earlier on I got a chance to talk to Andrew Lancaster, the director of documentary The Lost Aviator. Hi Andrew, nice to see you here at the London Film Festival.
Nice to meet you.
Can you please describe the film The Lost Aviator in your own words?
The Lost Aviator is a documentary about my great uncle Bill Lancaster, and he crashed in the Sahara Desert in 1933, but his body wasn't found until 1962, and he was found in the middle of the Sahara mummified. His body was mummified. He was found by a French patrol, and they discovered, strapped to the wing of the plane, a diary that counted the 8 days he survived by the plane. And it didn't mention anything about a murder trial that he was on just a year before in Miami. And the diary is also a love letter to the woman he'd been having an affair with for us 5 years, and so it's very much a family story, but also a story about murder, aviation and intrigue, and a bit of a cold case about this story of Bill Lancaster.
And obviously you've got the family ties, but yeah, what was it about Bill as a man and as this sort of man who led this extraordinary life, what was it about him that made you want to make this documentary?
I think I'm interested in characters who are flawed, and he was a heroic failure. He didn't make any of the records he set out to make, and he was famous for all the wrong reasons, and I found that more interesting than some of the heroic aviators who won and it all worked well, because I think he had a lot going against him, but he still did the same flights and still made the same achievements. And I kind of like that sort of character because I identify with him as a family member, but I also really wanted to kind of, you know, investigate what really happened in the murder trial that he was acquitted for.
Do you see any of Bill in yourself at all?
Some people have said I have a striking resemblance to Bill. So I do feel for him. But I also feel like he's a very complicated character, and rather than just being the British officer who was an aviation and, you know, he was honourable, I kind of think that, you know, the stuff that happened in Miami in the love triangle he was involved with, I went into this documentary thinking he actually may have killed Hayden Clark.
Absolutely, and I thought that was fascinating, the whole middle section of the documentary where you deal with the murder case, or not murder case, as the case may be.
Yeah.
Was it hard to tread that line? I know you actually make it quite explicit in the documentary about wanting to keep it truthful and just present the facts as they are, but was it ever, you know, quite hard as a family member to sort of not side with one side or the other, you know, guilty or not guilty?
Well, I think as a family member, I went against the grain in general, and I set out to prove that he was guilty. and I think that kind of rustled a couple of feathers because, you know, there still is a generation where you know, his daughter is still alive, and she definitely didn't want to know about her father possibly being a murderer. But I just felt that, I guess I have a bit of distance, you know, I'm his great nephew. But I think it's more interesting to kind of really go into a documentary with a viewpoint that goes against the grain, and I like kind of being the black sheep in the family. And as I made the documentary, I actually kind of discovered more about Bill and realised that, you know, maybe he didn't do it. But I definitely kind of think that what the story that was told in court and their kind of story, which was that, you know, Chubby went to bed at night and hurt, you know, was woken by Bill and didn't hear a gunshot. I think that they were making that up. I don't think that really happened. I think that, you know, probably a lot of alcohol involved and there was probably a fight. And I think that Bill may have killed Hayden Clark.
Yeah, and it's really interesting that you, I think in the part of the documentary you say logically it must be the case that he's guilty, but emotionally you don't want him to be guilty. And I was just wondering, what do you think Bill would make of the documentary himself if he were to watch it?
I think, well, Bill was very media savvy, and I think that he'd like the attention. Yeah. in one of his final diaries, he wrote the diary by the plane over the 8 days, and he And he does mention the newspapers would have a field day when they could hear this. And he was used to having his words and personal words displayed publicly in the trial in Miami in 1932. His personal diary was published. And he ended up having a way, because he was a writer, and I think he knew how to be, you know, on camera or you know, appear on trial. And I'm sure he would hate the fact that, you know, there's certain things we expose about the murder trial and the forensics that may have gone against him, but I think he would like the limelight.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the notoriety.
Yeah, okay. And I was just wondering, it's great that it's in a documentary format, because, you know, showing the facts as they are, but were you ever tempted to sort of make it into sort of a dramatic sort of feature? I know that there was a TV series done of it in the 80s, was that?
Yeah. The TV series that was done in the 80s was very much more of a kind of like, we call it like 1930s with shoulder pads. And it was kind of slightly overblown, so we use that as reconstruction in the documentary, but I would love to do a drama based on the story. The problem about doing a 1930s aviation period drama over three continents is it's quite expensive. So it was actually cheaper for Noni, the producer, and I to travel to people and use the miniseries as reconstruction and do some of our own forensic reconstruction as well.
It totally works. And I was just wondering what it means to be screening it here in the London Film Festival, above, you know, any other film festival. So obviously it's a bit of a homecoming, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, I've excited to have it here in the festival because a whole lot of my family have come to see it. So there's actually people from Sydney who have come to see it. And there's a lot of people from the UK, and that we've all come together. And last night was the first time they saw it, so it was. And Bill was English. He lived in London, and you know, he lived in the Authors Club, and so it wasn't too far away from the Covent Garden Cinema where we premiered.
Awesome. And what are the future plans with the film? Is it going to go on to other film festivals?
Yes.
And also, what are your next plans?
We have other film festivals in America. We're not allowed to mention which festivals we're getting. We're embargoed. We're not allowed to mention them because they haven't been announced. But yes, the film is being released in Australia theatrically with Transmission Films, which is a great thing to have it in cinemas in Australia. And and we're hoping to pick up some further distribution in the UK.
Are there any sort of next plans on the horizon for another film?
I would love to do the drama of The Lost Aviator, but I'm developing another film about a man who can hear subsonic sound.
Okay, so a completely different avenue.
Very much more a drama, you know, and very much more a sound, music, drama.
Okay, right. And just one final question. If you were to make a feature of Bill's life, would it be warts and all? Would you shy away from some facts and reveal others, or would you go with what your personal take on his life is?
Well, I think that having a character who's ultimately flawed is more identifiable for an audience. So I think all warts and all. Yeah. I'd bear it all. And I think the kind of the stranger and the weirder things he did are kind of what fascinates me about him. So yeah, I would love him to do it. I'd love to get you and Leslie and Yale Stone, who did the voices. I'd love to them to play the characters.
Awesome. Oh, brilliant. Well, thank you very much for talking to me, Andrew. It's been a pleasure.
No worries, have a good one.
Cheers. Andrew Lancaster there, the director of The Lost Aviator, when I spoke to him at the London Film Festival. You're listening to Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.